And as she's doing that, we're going to pray. Heavenly Father, thank you for your word. Thank you for the way that in your word we meet with the risen Jesus. And Father, today I pray by your Holy Spirit that you would give each of us a hunger for the word of God, a hunger for the scripture, that you would help us to know the good news of Jesus and also to be able to communicate and share that with others. I pray these things in Jesus' name. I pray that you would open my lips to speak your word and open our hearts and ears to hear it. Amen. Friends in Christ, today is actually designated around the world as International Day of Prayer for the Persecuted Church. There are literally millions of people around the world today who are facing persecution, imprisonment, even death for the fact that they are Christians and that they follow Jesus. I'm going to refer a little bit more to that, and we're going to pray for our persecuted brothers and sisters later on in the service. But I have a short video clip that introduces you to some of our brothers and sisters in Christ in Pakistan who are facing really severe kind of persecution for the fact that they are Christians.
In Pakistan, we Christians are second-class citizens, have committed no crime. We are ostracized and banished to the lowest place in society. Often we are forced to leave our villages and our own homes. We cannot get good jobs. And we have no voice in government. What is left for us is sewage work, and we know we will never advance. But we have a church. Where Christians come together to worship the Lord Jesus Christ, to sing His praise, to study His word. For while our country has turned its back on us, God has not. Sometimes it's uneasy. The loss, the injustice. Remember to pray for us, that we will continue to live together in fellowship, that we will continue to see the joy of the Lord in our lives, and that we will persevere in our faith no matter the cost. And please remember, we are praying for you.
I find myself deeply moved by that video. To think that there are people, Christian brothers and sisters, in those kind of conditions, and yet they have this joy, the joy of the Lord, as it said in the video, that is their strength. And the reason that they have joy is because they know what it means to walk with the risen Jesus. They know what it means for Jesus to be with them, even in the midst of those awful conditions. around the world, there are millions of people who face similar kind of persecution because of the name of Jesus. I wonder about us here in the safe country of Australia. I wonder if sometimes we forget what a priceless treasure we have because we can have it so easily. I wonder if sometimes we undervalue the privilege it is, for instance, to hold a Bible in our hand and to be able to read it without fear. And so today, the sermon is about the scripture, and it's about communicating the joy of the Lord that we have and helping others to know Jesus and to walk with him. And I've got to be honest here. I think for Australian Christians, this is a difficult thing. I think that a lot of us, when we think about sharing our faith with other people, we feel anxious. We feel unprepared and unworthy, and we don't know how it's going to go. We don't know whether our friends are going to say, well, I don't like you anymore, or I reject you because of Jesus. But one thing we do know is that we will not face, not at this point in history, we will not face the kind of persecution that we saw there in that clip. So in walking with the risen Jesus, our vision for our church is to invite and equip everyone to walk with Jesus. And we've looked at the journey, we've looked at the meal, the scripture is today, and the mission is next week. And today I want to zoom right in on scripture. And so I invite you to take up the privilege that you have of being able to read your Bible. And I invite you to turn to Luke chapter 24, which is where our church's key verse comes from. Luke chapter 24, particularly verse 27. Luke is in the New Testament, third gospel. And if someone has found that reading, Luke 24, verse 27, if you could read that out to us. This is the story on the first Easter day of two disciples who are devastated, who don't know that Jesus is alive. And Jesus comes and he's walking with them. And this is part of what happens. Just that one verse. Okay, so Jesus is walking with the disciples and he's opening up God's word to them, what we now know as the Old Testament, the Law and the Prophets. And Jesus says, or he's basically pointing out the truth, that the scripture, God's word, is about him. That the center and focus of God's word in the Old Testament is Jesus. Beginning with Moses and all the prophets, he explained to them what was said in all the scriptures concerning himself. Now, this is a really important point. We don't read the Bible because we have to. We read it because in God's word, we get to meet with Jesus. And Jesus is the one who gives us the kind of joy and the peace that passes understanding that we saw those Pakistani persecuted brothers and sisters show. So if we could just go a little bit further to Luke chapter 24, verse 32. Who would like to read that one out? Weren't our hearts burning within us as he talked with us on the road and opened the scriptures to us? Jesus is not only the focus of the Bible, but he's also the one who, through the Holy Spirit, opens God's word to us so that we can understand it and so that we can meet him there and walk with him. Now, this is really important. The scriptures are not some kind of weapon to be used against people, like Bible bashing them. They're not a law or a command where you need to feel guilty if you're not reading God's word. Jesus is both the focus of scripture and the lens through which we see it clearly. We as Christians read the Bible because in the Bible we encounter Jesus. Primarily, that is the most important point about God's word for us. It points us to the living word, Jesus, who walks with us through all the circumstances of life. And so today I want to encourage you to let go of your Christian guilt about not reading the Bible enough. okay? And instead encourage you to take up the scripture because in it we meet with Jesus. That's really important. Everyone that I know who is a Christian says, you know what, I really would like to read the Bible more. And I pray that God will give each of us a hunger for his word, again, not because we have to, but because in his word we meet with Jesus. In some parts of the world, including some parts of China, God's word, the Bible, is so rare and precious that illegal house church pastors take a copy of the New Testament and they carefully divide it up into pages, and each pastor gets one page of the New Testament. That when they have finished teaching and preaching their people and learning that scripture and even memorizing it, that page is then passed on to another pastor, or they swap the pages around. That's how rare and precious the Bible is in some parts. So how can we be really practical about this? I know that we are busy. I know that I am busy, and that even I, as a pastor, sometimes feel guilty because I think that I should be reading God's word more. Let me encourage you to get really practical. A couple of ways of doing that. One is to try to commit, and again, don't feel guilty if it doesn't happen, right? Let the Holy Spirit lead you in this, but try to commit to one time period of, I don't know, 5 or 10 minutes per day, where you just sit with God's word and read it and say, God, what are you saying to me through this? Please open up your word to me. But here's a really good way for us who are very busy. I don't have my mobile phone on me right now, but you can get Bible apps on your phone. And the one that I use is called Bible Gateway. Okay, it's a really good app. One of the reasons that I like that app is because it has audio versions of scripture. It has the Bible being read out aloud. And if any of you are commuters, you can actually use your commuting time to listen to God's word. And in fact, a number of people in our church have found that to be a really helpful way to get scripture in and to encounter Jesus. Okay? So you can use your mobile phone, you can use Bible app, you can sit down with a written copy of God's word. Let's hunger for it and treat it as precious as it really is. Also, if you want to read scripture with one other person, that's actually a really good way to unfold it, and Jesus will meet you there. So along with the scripture, which is the way that God equips us to walk with Jesus, communicate is the third part of how we invite people to walk with Jesus. And this is the scary one, okay? I understand that. This is a scary one. I'm an evangelist. I love nothing more than telling people the good news about Jesus. That's what I live for, right? But I think that I'm a bit rare in that way. And even I still have anxiety sometimes about actually opening my mouth and talking to people about Jesus. You know, it's actually easier to stand up the front of a big group and do it than it is to do it one-on-one. That's what I find anyway. So how can we learn to communicate God's word? Here's a really helpful verse. 1 Peter 3, verse 15 to 16. Let's turn to that. That's a fair way further on into the New Testament. If you get to Revelation, you've gone too far. 1 Peter 3, verse 15 to 16. Sylvia's going to read it for us. In your heart, set apart Christ as Lord. Always be prepared to give an answer to those who ask you to give the reason for the hope you have. Some of you will have this Connect card, which we gave out a couple of weeks ago, which is praying for people, okay? Praying for people to come to know the good news of Jesus. If you don't have one, we've got plenty of spares. But on that card, it says, Connect, Care, Communicate, Come and See. As we as God's people care for others, as we pray for them and see what God is doing in their lives, as we show our Christian love, there will come a time when people will say, what is it about you? In a good way, not a bad way, hopefully, right? What is it about you? You've got something different. You've got something that I'm interested in. That's the point where God's word says that people are open to hearing about Jesus. Okay, so we're praying for people, we're caring for people, we're showing practical love. And at some point, someone will say to you, hey, what is this? What does it mean to be a Christian? Or why are you different from the people around you? And that's the point at which the Holy Spirit has opened them up to hearing the good news about Jesus. As 1 Peter says, do this with gentleness and respect. Okay, we don't coerce people. We don't push it on people. Does that make sense? Now, okay, Pastor Nathan, that's all very nice in theory, but how do we get practical about it? Okay, here is a great practical way of doing it. On the Connect card, it says, ask, what did you get up to on the weekend? Here is a great non-threatening way to let people know that you're a Christian. Ask them this question, okay? What did you get up to on the weekend? And they'll tell you, oh, I went sailing and I played cricket and I went down to Aldi and bought shopping and we had dinner and all that stuff. Now, here's the thing. I learned this from a guy called Sam Chan, who is a great guy. I really love his teaching. And he said, in Australia, there's something called a social contract. And it goes like this. If you listen to someone for 10 minutes about what they did on their weekend, they will, help me out here, listen to you for at least 5 minutes about what you did on your weekend, right? And what you can say as part of a natural conversation when they say, oh, and what did you get up to on your weekend? You can go, well, I played cricket and I went to church. There you go. Natural, normal, easy way to show people that you're a Christian and to say that you're a follower of Jesus. Very practical. What did you get up to on the weekend? Remember the social contract, okay? I love that piece of teaching. It's really cool. Hopefully, I can get even more practical right now. I think that evangelism, that sharing the story of God's good news for us in Jesus, works best at the intersection of something that I'm going to show you. I'm a mathematician. I love Venn diagrams, right? Some of you probably hate Venn diagrams. Who dislikes Venn diagrams? Who? No one dislikes Venn diagrams. Awesome. Oh, Mandy does. Who doesn't know what a Venn diagram is? That's okay too. All right. Think about my story, okay? Every one of us has a story. We have a life that is unfolding and we have a story about that life. Your story, your friend, your acquaintance, your workmate, your story. We need to listen to your story, to the other person's story, to be friends with people, to show care for them. God's story. Now, God's story is actually bigger and the circle should take in the whole of everything because God is at work everywhere in everybody, right? But I've put it up here so that we can look at this a bit more closely. What do you think you would call this part of the diagram where my story intersects with your story? Carolyn, full points. Relationship, well done. Or friendship, relationship. There's something there where your story overlaps with someone else's story. You share part of the same story. You have a relationship. Okay, let's see if people can get more points than Carolyn. What do you think you would call this part where my story intersects with God's story? Well, yeah, it's a relationship with God. No, not really. Sorry, who's prayer? Yeah, prayer is part of it. Okay, I'm going to use a big Christian word here, discipleship. Okay, walking with Jesus, discipleship, where my story interacts and intersects with God's story. What would you call this part where God's story intersects with someone else's story? Sorry? Yes, I like that. Holy Spirit. I haven't actually put that on the screen, but take a point for that one. What else? Silv? No? God at work. Power of the Holy Spirit. God is at work in everyone's life. He's already there. Before you get there, before you start sharing the good news of Jesus, God is at work in that person's life. And if you're praying for people and seeing where God is at work, you're going to have your eyes opened very much. Now, here's where evangelism works the best, where my story and your story and God's story all intersect, where the person can see that God is at work in your life and where they are beginning to recognize that God might be at work in their own life. That's where evangelism works best, where we have a relationship, where we're listening to God and walking with Him, and where we begin to see and they begin to see God's work in their own life. Does that make sense? Okay, my story, your story, God's story. Where the three of them come together, that's where it's easiest and most effective to communicate the good news of Jesus. And why do we want to communicate that? Is it because Pastor Nathan said that we had to? No. Mandy, why might we want to communicate that? Oh, sorry, shouldn't pick on people. Do we want people to have the joy of the Lord? Do we want people to know what it means to walk with the risen Jesus, even when times are tough and even when times are good? Do we want people to know that they are deeply loved by God and that they can be forgiven by Him and have a reconciled relationship with Him because of Jesus? Absolutely. And may the Holy Spirit work in us to help to remove our anxiety and to help our evangelism, our sharing of the good news, our communication come out of a sense of joy at God at work in people's life. Any questions or comments just before I wrap up the sermon? This is genuine. If you want to interact with what I've been saying or preaching about, this is a really good time to do that. Yeah, absolutely. And I think as we pray for people, it's not that God works more, but that we begin to see where God is at work in their story. Yeah. All good, clear as mud. Yeah, hopefully